It's time for the Drive's Top 4 at 4.
Hour number 2 of the Drive underway. We're live this afternoon at National RX in Farragut, getting you ready for a big watch party tomorrow at Craven Wings. Russell Smith here, Bear back at the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios, and we start this hour with the Top 4 at 4. Little scores, a couple scores going on for you in the world of college basketball. 4-11 to play in the West region. You've got 5-seed St. Mary's leading 12-seed VCU 54-45. They're at the half in the East region. Marquette, the 2-seed there, up by 9 over 15-seed Vermont 39-30. Just underway in the 6-seed Iowa State, 11-seed Pitt game. And, Barry, you watch it. This one, Pitt just jumping all over Iowa State. It's 19-2. With 12 minutes left in the first half, 19-2.
Yeah, Pitt's that team, Russell, after watching them, and I watched them a little bit towards the end of the year, they're dangerous. And I think they may be the – there's one of those play-in teams every year that kind of makes a run. We were one of them one year with Konzo, but I think they may be that team this year.
Six-seed Creighton up 5-0 on NC State. They just started there. Earlier today, it was Xavier in the game of the day so far. 3-seed Musketeers, very fortunate to escape against 14-seed Kennesaw State. They won that game 72-67, but trailed for most of the way. Baylor advances today, taking down UC Santa Barbara 74-56. And we've got a bunch of games getting set to get underway here. We'll keep you up to date as we go through the afternoon. Number 2, Tennessee Duke tomorrow. 2:40 p.m. tip-off in Orlando. Duke has won 10 in a row. Tennessee trying to make the Sweet 16 again under head coach Rick Barnes, who improved to 26-26 all-time in the NCAA tournament. And he's undefeated, Bear, never lost, as a 4-seed or higher in the first round. Pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty good. We'll be at Craven Wings in Chodo, South North Shore Drive. Come on out and see us tomorrow to watch the game. A fan-run radio listener watch party. Going to be a lot of fun. Bring your kids. It'll be fun for the whole family. The Cubs going to be there, right, Bear?
Yeah. I got to ask you, man. I'm planning on, like, I've already started plotting out my strategy so I can reach Craven Wings in a state of maximum hunger.
Just don't eat.
That's basically what I'm going to do. I'm going to eat when I get home, and then I may not eat again until I roll in. I'm not eating breakfast. Eating breakfast and lunch at Craven Wings, buddy. Come out and join us.
All right, looking good. Number 3, Tennessee baseball getting set to get underway against Missouri in Como. Chase Dolander on the mound for Tennessee in Game 1. Volunteers starting lineup. Blake Burke is back in there in the three-hole playing first. Jared Dickey gets the start in center field, batting fifth today. Merritt in left field. Tears in right field. And freshman Dylan Dreiling DHing today for the Big Orange.
Logan, let's go.
Logan Quinton will be here in just a few minutes to hang out with us. We might talk some baseball with him. Continue taking your phone calls as well. And number 4, Charlotte Hornets owner Michael Jordan is in, quote, serious talks to sell his majority stake in the franchise, according to ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski. Jordan considering selling his stake to a group that is led by Hornets minority owner Gabe Plotkin, as well as Atlanta Hawks minority owner Rich Schnall, according to the report. I guess if you're a Charlotte basketball fan, you're probably not too sad to see Jordan let go of the team. They haven't been very successful.
No. They don't. I mean, it's not a very well-run franchise.
He's not great at the ownership thing, it would appear.
No. Has he been an owner that's been too hands-on?
I don't know. I don't know enough about it.
I mean, he's got the whole – I mean, he owns that massive NASCAR race team. I know it's NASCAR, but that's a massive amount of time and money if you want to win over there on doing that. So,
in the 13 years that he's maintained majority ownership of the franchise, Charlotte has only appeared in the postseason twice, last time being in 2016.
So 7 years, almost a decade.
Yeah.
I mean, he is a GOAT, but if I'm a Charlotte fan, I'm not unhappy today.
I feel you. That is the Top 4 at 4, brought to you this afternoon by National RX, where we are today. Don't forget, throughout the month of March, 25% off all Ananda Professional CBD products. If you have ever tried CBD, if you use CBD regularly, or if you're CBD curious, this is a great time to give it a try. They can even mail it to you if you live outside the listening area. Just go on nationalrx.com, find the phone number, call down here. Tell them Fan Run told you to call, and they'll walk you through everything, fill out the necessary forms, and mail it directly to your door. They've got all kinds of different CBDs here, whether the droppers, the oil that you take orally. They've got the cream, the clear, the whatever. They've got a special CBD for sleep aid. It helps you get to sleep that I know several of you guys out there in listener land use with great results. They've got some of the chews, the gummies out here as well. They've got it all for you. And if you don't know a ton about it, just call up and ask. They'll walk you through all the information. I know that's a very, very popular thing these days. Ananda Professional CBD, 25% off here at National RX through the rest of the month. 865-546-8200. If you want to get on board this afternoon, the Drive, Fan Run Radio, Russell and Bear cruising with you. Do we still have TJ, Bear?
Yes, we do.
Let's get TJ, the Kentucky fan, in here to lead off hour number two. Good afternoon, TJ. How are you, sir?
Hey, what's up, guys? You know, I'll be quick. It's ridiculous, man. I know every fan base has them, but guys like Phil and I listened to the voluntary reaction last night. Y'all are mad because you want an NCAA tournament game. Do you think Xavier is mad today that they came back and won by two or three against Kennesaw State? Do you think Arizona is mad? Oh, yeah, they probably are because they didn't win. Tennessee still did. It took three last-second game-winning shots in 2014 for Kentucky to get to the Final Four. Do you think I was mad or do you think I was happy? I mean, this is – Kentucky hasn't won an NCAA tournament game in almost 4 years. Do you not think I would have jumped for joy to beat St. Peter's by one? A win is a win in March. You cannot be mad. You survive in advance. You look at the tape. You see what you did wrong, and you play the next game. You don't get mad because you win an NCAA tournament game. That is stupid.
Smashed!
I mean, we might play ugly tomorrow when, and we'll definitely get a call or two like that. Won't we be people complaining about a win over Duke in the NCAA tournament?
Yeah, because they can't let go of the whole Barnes thing.
Can't let go.
I mean, can't let go of it. I'm trying to figure out what if they do the Barnes bashers hate Barnes more than the Pearlinistas love Pearl? Because a lot of those guys are in the same – In both groups.
If Tennessee wins tomorrow and we don't get out of the 50s, there will be a segment of the fan base that is dissatisfied with a win over Duke at the NCAA tournament. But take it from a Kentucky fan, Tennessee fans. You don't know where this thing could be headed. I mean, that could be your last NCAA tournament win for a long time. You might as well enjoy it.
4 years it's been?
And here's the thing, too. Like, in 2014, Aaron Harrison hit those three-point shots. We were the eighth seed. We beat the ninth seed. Okay, we're playing with house money. We play undefeated Wichita State the next game. He hits a three-pointer with 3 seconds to go. We win that. Gravy. Cool. You know what? The next game we play, like, I think it was second-ranked Louisville or some crap like that. He hits another three. I mean, come on. I just get so angry and frustrated because if Kentucky wins by one tonight, I'm going to be happy. I'm going to call KSR post-game show. I'm going to be happy. I ain't going to fire Cal. He just won an NCAA tournament game. This is bull crap. Like, come on, man. You're still in a tournament. You're playing one of the storied programs in all of college basketball, and you have a chance. ESPN says you have a 75% chance to beat them tomorrow. And y'all are, and some fans are mad? Come on, man.
Come on, man. That's where we're, this is where we are, ladies and gentlemen. A Kentucky fan is happier for Tennessee winning than some of the Tennessee fans are. We're truly living in the upside down.
Are they Tennessee fans, though, Russ? Are they really? Can you really call yourself a fan if you act that way?
They're confused. They're psychotic. They're strange. But, yeah, they're Tennessee fans.
I mean, Phil was completely unhinged on his phone call.
Completely unhinged. Disgraceful behavior, I would say. Anything else, TJ?
Yeah, by the way, I hope y'all smash Duke. I can't stand Duke. I still hate Leitner. I hope every Duke fan has the most inconvenient. I hope they have toilet paper stuck on their shoes when they get out of a public bathroom. I hope their car seats get wet and they roll down the windows a little bit when it rains. I can't stand Duke. Y'all have a good one, man.
Really? Hope Providence beats the hell out of Kentucky myself.
This is where we are. This is where we are. The Kentucky taking advice from Kentucky fans.
Well, I mean, that's the other thing we got going for us. You know, everybody in the country come tomorrow at tip, outside of Duke fans, you're going to be pulling for Tennessee.
That's a good point. It's a good point, bro.
A lot of good karma and mojo and vibes being just pumped from the entire nation outside of the Duke fans and Davey Hudson to Orlando to the Tennessee Volunteer Basketball Program, Russ. How about that?
Yeah, how about that? How about that indeed? Three things I think need to happen tomorrow, Bear. You want Roger's keys to the game?
Yes, please.
Here's three things we got to have tomorrow. I think Tennessee needs to make 25 shots. They've got to make 25 field goals. They only made 21 last night. And here's the weird thing. We only attempted 46 shots in the entire game last night. They had all those turnovers. I mean, it's one thing, Bear, if you have a cold shooting night, you're just missing shots. Like, at least you're getting shots. I mean, we had stretches where we literally can't even get a shot off, whether it's a shot clock violation or a turnover or an air ball. We've got to at least attempt shots. I think we've got to make 25 field goals tomorrow, and I think 8 of them need to be threes. We only made 4 threes last night. So that's my first thing. Make 25 shots, 8 threes. Second thing, I think you have to hold Duke to 40% shooting or less. We held Louisiana right at 40%. Duke is a big team. That's going to be a hard deal, man. I don't think they shoot a lot of threes, but
they like to score in the paint.
Yeah, I mean, they're big, they're long, they're physical around the rim. Our big guys are going to have to bring it tomorrow. I like putting Urosh in the starting lineup there. I mean, we were calling for that a long time ago, Bear.
Yeah, and I mean, I'll give the devil his due, and it'd be funny if that's what ends up putting his beloved Duke boys out. But Davey Hudson was on that early in the season. He noticed that right away.
Hold Duke to 40% or less shooting. And then the third thing, key, Big Raj, is 12 or fewer turnovers. We're going to turn the ball over. It's going to be sloppy. We had 18 last night, I think, and it was 12 at the half.
Yeah, if we have 18 tomorrow, we're getting beat by 14 at least.
Yeah, I mean, 12 is still pretty sloppy, but it can't be any more than that. And we're just going to have to put up with a certain amount of sloppy without Ziegler. So it's just got to be manageable, man. You've got to spread them out. And, I mean, it would be nice to have fewer than 10. But
well, the other component to that is, and it's what helped us last night, We gotta get turnovers. We gotta turn them over.
Yeah,
we did a really good job of that last night. I felt like.
I think we'll do that. I think those are my three keys. You got to make at least 25 field goals, 8 threes, hold Duke to 40% or less shooting. That might be the hardest part of all this. And then 12 or fewer turnovers. You do those three things, I kind of like our chances.
I do as well, man. I'm pretty optimistic.
Stay with us.
Okay.
The drive continues. Fan Run Radio live today at National RX amongst the Farragutians. Logan Quinton is here. He's brought the crumble cookies.
Now, wait just a damn minute.
Yeah.
You got him to come out there instead of the station, and now you've got the cookies.
Yeah, that's how this works. Got a problem with that?
You are so duplicitous.
Bear is mad.
You're feckless.
He's mad that you brought the cookies out here and he doesn't get any. And when I say mad, he's apoplectic.
Oh, Quinton, what have you done?
There's no banana pudding.
Nah. Logan, my boy.
No reason to come down here and cause a scene.
It's not going to cause a scene. I thought we were buddies, man. Obviously, I was mistaken.
He's not happy with you.
I've hooked you up plenty of times.
Yeah, that's true, Bear. That's true.
There's plenty more to come.
Yeah, yeah.
Just patience, Bear. I know that's not – I know you don't get that term a lot, but come on now.
Stay with us. The Drive continues. It's Fan Run Radio. We're back with more right after this.
The Drive.
Drive continues live today at National RX in Farragut. Well, you got good news, bad news, Bear.
All right. Give me the bad news first.
I'm going to give you the good news first.
Okay.
It's just quick and easy to get out of the way. The good news is Logan Quinton is here and he brought crumble cookies. They're pretty good. The bad news is Chase Dolander is getting shelled in the first inning. It's 4-0 Mizzou.
Yeah, I just sent that to you. I just saw that right before we came back. He did get out of the ending, but, yeah, he got lit up for 4 runs.
So. Logan, what's going on? This has been a recurring theme with Dolander going back to the season opener where he gives up runs early. Now, the good news is, like, he's settled down and usually pitched well with a bunch of strikeouts for a couple of innings afterwards. Tony's usually been letting him get up to about 90 pitches. He hasn't had to be yanked prematurely in any of these games. But you can't tell me Tony wasn't thinking about it when you get down 4-0 in the first inning.
Yeah, so I was coming in hot today. It took me a while to get out here. So just now catching up, we've got it on right here. Didn't get to see that first frame. But you mentioned it. There have been some couple of rough starts. It even dates back to his Vols debut, you know, when they were down there in Houston against Baylor. That was probably the worst outing of the season last year. And last weekend, even against Morehead State, he was missing glove side a lot. They didn't really touch him up, but he was missing glove side. But then he settled back in. So we'll see what he can do once he gets back out there. Looks like Griffin Merritt's up to bat now with Jared Dickey. Jared Dickey walked in the top of the second frame. So, yeah, we've got one on and Griffin Merritt up to bat. Got to erase a 4-run deficit.
Well, we got the bats. They can climb back in this thing, but hopefully Dolander can settle down. Otherwise, this could be not good times out there.
This is a Missouri team that we've talked about it on the podcast. You know, we released the pod earlier today, the 920 podcast, with myself and Charlie Collier. This Missouri club returned a lot of production. They had about 6 key guys in their lineup that returned and totaled about 900 at-bats from last season. That's a ton. And, you know, Missouri got blown away with a lot of folks in a lot of games. They came up here and, you know, they weren't intimidated by the Vols last year. They just didn't have it last year, but they return a lot of production. It's going to be interesting to see what they do on the mound this week. And we've got Chandler Murphy going today. And then tomorrow is Rorik Maltrude. He's been a surprise this year. But they do have some depth with the pitching, but they're still trying to figure things out in that regard, try to figure out a weekend rotation and see who their 1-2 punch is.
Logan Quinton with us this afternoon here at National RX in Farragut. And Logan, how's your bracket looking, buddy?
Probably as well as anybody else's. I had Arizona in one of my, I don't know if it's the fan run bracket, but had Arizona in one of my Final Fours. So I did pick the Furman upset yesterday.
Really?
So felt good about that. But I also,
okay. Well done, sir.
The downside of that is I also picked College of Charleston to go up against the Paladins. And
that would have been cool, but.
Yeah. So it's not a complete disaster yet. I had Houston in one and Purdue in the other to win it all.
Houston, that's kind of an issue. It makes me sick, Bear, how both the Alabama teams, the bracket is opening up for the Sasser tries to play for Houston last night, ends up re-aggravating his groin injury.
It's growing.
Yeah. Now all of a sudden, they've got Auburn, and I mean, Houston's lucky to win yesterday against the 16 seed. And, you know, now they've got Auburn, who should be able to take advantage of that if Sasser can't play or if he's severely limited.
Yeah.
And for Alabama, I mean, like you talk about Moses just parting the seas. I mean, you can already see the 2 seed is out there, and it's wide open for them to get to the Final Four.
I mean, it's not like they needed a whole lot of help to begin with. Auburn could do some damage. I mean, Bruce knows how to coach. They go on a little run here.
It's like Iowa State woke up a little bit. They've got back in this thing with Pitt. It's 26-19 out there.
NC State Creighton games, kind of NC State's. They're still what, down 6?
Yeah, I mean that's got to be a toss up there anyway.
Yeah, that's a fist fight game.
Marquette's running away from Vermont, just kind of grinding them up. So no upsets yet today in the NCAA tournament. But the day is young, ladies and gentlemen. The day is young. Logan, what are your thoughts? Tennessee, Duke tomorrow. First of all, are you going to come to the right Craven Wings this year? You infamously went to the wrong Craven Wings for the watch.
I think so.
We're all out there having the time of our lives out in West Knoxville. Logan's down there in Seymour going, where is everybody?
Yeah, hey, I mean, I hated I missed out on you guys, but the food was great. But I'm excited to attempt to come out to the right one in lovely Chodo and see what that's all about. I'm sure we're going to have a lot of people out there.
TV setup is much better. The whole setup in Chodo is better. The Seymour place is cool, but it's more like you go in there, pick up your stuff. You can't eat there, but it's you know, the It's a bar and grill type place in Chodo with TVs everywhere, and like it's going to be a very cool time for those of you that are planning on coming out and enjoying us. And as I pointed out earlier, gentlemen, Tennessee 1-0, undefeated, never lost. When there's a Craven Wings fan run watch party.
Do you think our biggest threat is Davey Durham?
What do you mean?
Is he going to come in there and with some blue magic and some bad juju?
I mean, I trust Dave Bear. Like, he's rooting for Tennessee. He said that all along. He's rooting for Tennessee. I mean, he might be a little bit conflicted. It might hurt him that he has to root against
Duke. A little conflicted?
But he's pulling for Tennessee. He wants Tennessee to win.
Okay.
I trust him.
I mean,
DTA.
We've got the big guys to throw at Flipowski, I think. But outside of Flipowski, what's the biggest threat, you think, for Duke against us?
I would say, well, I am worried about Lively and his ability to control the paint with just blocking shots, altering shots. I don't think we're going to get – you know, Uroš had a nice game down low, scored a lot of points right around the rim for us. You know, Kamwa had his moments. I don't think we're going to be able to just pound it inside against them. That's why I said earlier, I think Tennessee's got to make 8 threes. We got to make some shots from the outside. And heck, you know, when we say that, we talk so much about Vescovy and Josiah. It might be time to ride Meshack, man. He might be the guy.
I'm all for it, man. It could be Meshack season. March could totally be Meshack season. If he can make 2 or 3 jumpers, a couple of layups, and you know what he's going to do on the defensive end. I mean, that's a good starting point.
Well, you look at it, and he's only averaging 4.5 points a game. And I'm not a fan of the mid-range jumpers.
Right.
Like,
he made a couple last night.
Yeah, if you're shooting it just inside the three-point line, it's like, man, just make it a three. But there was a couple of points there where we're about on the verge of bleeding out. Like, it is getting ugly. And he's the only one with, A, the guts to take the shot in the first place, and, B, starting to knock him down, which is is kind of cool, man. I'm happy for him.
He played with the most conviction last night,
yes.
I feel like.
Yes, by far. And I just look at Triple J and I see a guy who, for whatever reason.
Just happy to be out there.
Well, I don't see any joy from him. I don't see any smiles. I don't see him enjoying it right now. And he might be hurt. Like, yeah. I think we have to keep that in mind. That knee might be giving him problems, and he just doesn't want to talk about it because he, A, doesn't want to make excuses. B, doesn't want to hurt his professional, you know, prospects, whatever those may be. But he's not playing well, and there's no reason to expect him to have a significant offensive contribution tomorrow. Vescovy's been up and down, and I think he'll play well tomorrow, but I don't think he's going to drop 20 or anything like that. So, yeah, I mean, I think there's an opportunity there for Meshack to be a hero. And, I mean, we know he can play defense. We know he creates turnovers, and he can guard any position on the floor just about. But the offense that he's been giving Tennessee here of late has been a real pleasant surprise.
Maybe this is a game where Kamwa can have the – I mean, think back to Arizona. He had like a 7-8-minute stretch where he looked like Jason Tatum out there. He just couldn't be stopped.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe this is an opportunity for Kamwa to have a moment like that, because I feel like either one guy's going to have to step up for a few games in a row, or maybe it's by committee where it's last night it was Meshack, tomorrow it's another guy, and hopefully next weekend it's somebody else. They're going to have to piece this thing together somehow without Z.
With a few notable exceptions, I feel like Tennessee's shot selection offensively has been pretty good. I feel like they work it around and generally get open shots. I think they turn down open shots. Yeah. I mean, there were times, and Kamwa's a good example where he's got the ball. Let it fly, dude. If you've got an open look from three, be confident, man. Stroke it. Let it fly. And I would much rather miss an open three that is a good look than turning the ball over.
Yep.
And, man, you know, I know there are going to be some turnovers. You're playing without your point guard. There's going to be a bad pass here that goes off a guy's shin, something like that. But at least 3 times, if not more, last night, Tennessee had passes that just sailed out of bounds. The guy's not looking for it, and it just goes straight into the crowd. Can't have that.
Yep.
You can't have that at all. I mean, you go at this level, you see most teams don't have that happen in a game. And to see it happen so many times last night was infuriating.
And it was mostly Meshack and Key bringing the ball up, right? Last night.
Well, yeah.
And that Fultz, what was his name? Fultz from Louisiana, the JUCO transfer. He was nasty. Like, in terms of, I mean, he wasn't going to let Key breathe. But Meshack, I felt like, did a better job of, when he brought the ball up, getting into the set. But like you said, then you've got to slice them up. You've got to get into your set and then execute with passes. And so that's – we'll see if that's a problem. I don't think – I'm not expecting Duke to press like Louisiana did. So I don't know. Maybe a different type of ball game. We'll see. Hopefully it's Meshack season.
Here's another key for you that we probably ought to add to Rodgers' keys of the game. And it's one of those things, like, it should go without saying, but two games in a row now, at this point, you have to say it, is Vescovy's got to stay on the floor.
Yeah.
He can't get in foul trouble, man. He can't be – I know he's an aggressive defender, and you're asking him not to play his game to a certain standpoint, but he's got to stay on the floor.
Yeah.
And I know people have this gallows humor thing where it's like, well, that's one way to get him some rest, you know, is to have him sit on the bench for most of the half. But good grief, man, he's got to stay out of foul trouble. And along those same lines, if he does get in foul trouble, you can't sit him for – if he's sitting for 12 minutes in the first half, I have a hard time seeing Tennessee win. And I understand, you know, we talked about this a lot through the years on voluntary reaction about sitting a guy with two fouls. He picks up two early fouls in the first half. I understand. I think he picked up the second one with like six or seven minutes into the game, and then you didn't see him for 12, 13 minutes the rest of the first half. I understand he picks up that second call. Okay, bring him to the bench and sit him down for maybe 4 or 5 minutes. Let him cool off and then have an assistant or Barnes, somebody talk to him and say, all right, here's the deal. We're not going to play you for the rest of the half. We're going to bring you back and let you, but we got to play you for 3 or 4 minutes here. You can't foul. Like, and if you give up a couple of buckets, you can't, like, put your hands behind your back, do whatever you got to do on defense, but you cannot foul. I just don't think they can get away with not playing him, sitting him.
I agree.
If it's Adu or, you know, Triple J or whatever, it picks up the two, fine. You go in and sit him for the rest of the half if it means that much to you. But here's the thing. We sat him. He picked up the two fouls, sat him for the rest of the first half, bring him back, and he finishes with 3 fouls. Yeah, one more foul.
Yep.
So it's not like he even came close to fouling out. And I think the same thing happened against Missouri. He's a smart player. Sit him down on the bench. Say, we're going to bring you back for a little bit here. We can't play. We're going to limit your time here in the first half, but we're going to put you back in here and you can't foul. And then trust him. He's a smart player.
Yeah, you got to have him on the court with his experience, his ability to get hot from deep. I mean, you could swing a game with him just hitting 2 or 3 threes, you know, in an instant.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I totally agree. And then in terms of the fouls, not just him, but the team, I feel like we probably won't crash on the Duke guys like we did last night on what's his name, the forward from Louisiana,
Jordan Brown.
Yeah,
he's a nice player, man.
Yeah. So I don't know. It'll be interesting. I'm interested to see how they scheme up defensively against Duke.
Yeah, it's going to be a challenge for sure. All right, Logan, what do we have here? Crumble Cookies. They got the new location in Turkey Creek. Of course, the original out on Clinton Highway off Callahan Road near the big Target out there. Bear's going to be – if you thought he was mad before. Wait till you tell him what the mystery cookie was today.
Okay, so you ready, Bear?
I saw the picture. Go ahead.
We've got the number one seed milk chocolate chip. Yeah,
tried, true, every year effective.
Every year it's number one
solid
seed. Then we've got a Mallow cream cookie. This has marshmallow frosting with Lucky Charms sprinkled on top.
Wait a minute. You're talking about a Mallow cream. Mallow, like the old candy?
Yep.
It's right up Bear's alley.
And we also have, let's see here, we have a cookies and cream cookie. We have a mint brownie. This one's interesting to me because it's a chocolate cookie, not chocolate chip, but like, you know, a true chocolate cookie with mint spread on the top and then chocolate drizzled on top of the mint.
Oh,
and then we've got a butterscotch chip.
Yeah,
we got a sugar cookie. That's a little bit different from what we're seeing. This is a vanilla sugar cookie with frosting on top, and it has a gold coin, chocolate. They're calling it a chocolate gold coin on top.
They'd eat the whole thing. 10 out of 10.
And the mystery cookie from the Turkey Creek location, by the way, just around the corner. Go check them out. It's the newest location. The mystery cookie there is oatmeal chocolate chip, Bear.
You're dead to me.
Oatmeal chocolate chip. And
it's my number one cookie. The oatmeal chocolate chip.
What do I have to do to make it up?
It's delicious,
man. Bring you banana pudding to Craven Wings or something?
I mean, it's banana pudding cookie, the banana bread cookie. Where is this mystery cookie at? Now I'm going to have to go all the way. I'm over here in East Knock.
You don't even know where you are right now. You're so rattled.
I'm pissed.
Shook.
An oatmeal chocolate chip of all days. You finally bring us an oatmeal chocolate chip, and you take it out to that loser Russell.
I mean, I ate it, and it was delicious. So I
you
would say
you did not. Did you really?
Yeah. It was fantastic. Rich, scrumptious, sweet, just great.
We can save some for you, Bear.
No, you ain't getting
we'll
out that
some
easy.
Of that mallow. We'll bring you that butterscotch cookie.
I noticed it. I couldn't tell in the picture if those were chocolate chips or that's what I was wondering.
Mm-hmm.
I thought surely to God,
mm-hmm.
Logan Quentin.
Did you start sweating when you saw that?
No. Back of my neck started itching. I had this sudden urge to knock your and Russ's heads together.
I mean, Dolander bounces back in the second, three up, three down. So they're going to, I don't know if you just like get him warmed up earlier or something, but they're going to have to figure out something to help him get started with these games.
I don't know. And it's real cold out there.
Yeah.
Pitchers, you know, are just different when it's this cold.
Sure.
I mean, it's probably what, sub 40.
He's a Georgia kid, grew up playing in hot weather baseball his whole life. So,
yeah. So maybe it relates to that. But hey, the Vols got two on. Two out, and see what they can do here.
Stay with us. The drive continues. More Fan Run Radio. You want to jump in, take your shot now. We'll take some phone calls with Logan, 865-546-8200. 546-8200, your number to get on board. We're back with more right after this.
The drive.
This month at Nat B, opening
it. Hey, it's the best in the country. But the SEC slate, it's just so tough. You have to take blow after blow, and last year was so unique because Tennessee was just winning every series, sweeping just about every series, and it got to the point where you expect that now.
Yeah, yeah.
Folks expect 50-plus wins now.
Well, and I think even really good programs, you go on the road in this league, and it's like if you can win the series, if you can win two games, that's a great weekend. But we talked about it earlier this week. It's like after last year, you know, you go on up there to Missouri, and I'm kind of thinking, I wouldn't take the two wins. I want the sweep. And it doesn't mean that you go, you win two games this weekend and it's a failure. But after last year, it's hard to readjust your expectations when you did expect a sweep just about every series.
Yeah, and it looks like Dolander, he walked a guy just now, 2-1 now, 5-0. Looks like he missed arm side there. Let's see, today, 2 innings, 6 hits, 5 earned runs. But they're showing last game against Missouri, he gave up 4 earned runs as well, but that was through like 6-plus innings. But yeah, no, Missouri didn't come to Knoxville intimidated last year, even with all the swag that was going on that you mentioned. But they still got blown out. They return a lot of those guys, and it's out in Como now. There's not a raucous crowd. And so they're kind of taking the bull by the horns and, you know, giving it back to Tennessee right now.
Nate Oates today down in Birmingham, press conference, getting ready to take on Maryland tomorrow in the second round, Alabama. Asked today about Auburn fans possibly staying around and cheering for Maryland on Saturday. Quote, hopefully they are smart enough to know they should root for the SEC.
Why?
End quote. That's Nate Oates.
Yeah. Known dullard, Nate Oates.
So weird, man.
I'm not rooting for the SEC, you dummy. I mean, he's a moron.
How many webinars are they going to put him through in the off season?
I don't think if they like like strapped him down in a chair like Clockwork Orange style, Logan, that he's going to be, that they'd be able to brainwash him into being intelligent. Just not doing stupid stuff.
He's another one of these guys, Bear, that we've talked about, like Aaron Rodgers and who's the other one that were the Ja Morant, where they
Kyrie.
Have a good, they have this good reputation, right? That everybody's kind of looked at these guys as guys you want on your team, easy to root for, likable, whatever. And then within a year, they just, that reputation goes up in smoke. And Nate Oates, I think, is one of those guys. Tennessee fans didn't like him because he's the head coach at Alabama, but I feel like he was kind of a rock star in that sport until about a month ago. And now every time they stick a microphone in front of his face, he says something idiotic and to the point where he's just almost hated nationwide. It's bizarre.
Outside of the state of Alabama, and really mainly just, you know, I mean, the Auburn people don't like him. I hope they do stick around. I think everybody's going to be rooting against Alabama almost as much as Duke.
That situation we were talking about with Trey, with the New York Times and
them not stepping off that
kid was there. It's, that is really interesting. And I suppose at the end of the day, like if he was there, Bear, I don't know that that changes anything, if it matters or not. It's not a crime to be present there. But if he's lying about this, and in turn Bama's lying and his dad's lying about it, I don't know, man. That is just beyond a bad look.
But beyond?
Why would you lie about something like that? I don't understand.
You're a dumb college kid. You say something, and once it's out, you know, you're going to go down in flames with it, I guess. I don't know. That's why I learned really at a very young age, like, I got it drilled in my head by a guy, an older guy. His name is Big John Pascal. But he drilled it into my head. He was kind of like a big brother, big sister kind of deal for me. And just drilled in my head, like, once you get caught doing something, if you start lying at that moment, it's only going to get worse. If you get caught doing something and you're straight up honest about it, usually it's not going to get any worse. So I've never something that's alien to me. Like, dude, I was there. I can't speak about it. They've just completely I can't believe how badly a major league university has handled this.
Rough look.
I mean,
rough look.
It just defies imagination. Did you ever in a million years think one of these, you know, gazillion-dollar universities could mishandle something this serious, this badly?
And just at every turn, just like, well, that's, you know, you figure that's the end of it, that's the worst of it, and then within days, another just awful facet emerges. It's not funny, man. I mean, people take joy in dancing on Alabama's grave. It's very disturbing, in my opinion. All right, Logan, we appreciate you coming out and spending a few with us here this afternoon. Baseball Vols down 5-0 in the top of the fourth inning in Missouri. Do we just write this one off and try and come back tomorrow, or are we not giving up hope for today?
I'm not giving up hope for today. You get in there and you keep scrapping, you keep trying to get your hits, and you get back in the game. You know, if we don't, I'm not going to freak out it's just a tough environment to try and play baseball in.
We've been getting guys on base. I'm not giving up hope for today, but based on the weather conditions, it's going to be a lot tougher. But for the series, I'm definitely not writing off the series.
Yeah.
He is Logan Quinton, host of the 472 podcast.
0.5.
Oh, 920. The 920 podcast. Follow him on Twitter, folks. Give him a follow at LDQ Sports. Does a great job. He's part of that Tennessee baseball Twitter Illuminati thing going on there. You guys So the Tennessee baseball, the hardcores, you and Callum and Diamond Vols and
Dixon,
there's a couple of others that are just like really into it. That's yeah. I love you guys, but it's a little too intense.
I'm a degenerate.
Well, no, I mean, doubt. I was telling Rusty that it's kind of cool. You know, between like you, Shumpert, Dixon, and the other guys Russ mentioned, you have to watch the game some nights. So you got something going on, you just follow your all's Twitter feeds. I can tell you exactly what happened in the game.
I made every college baseball bet before looking into basketball today, if that tells you anything.
Check out Logan, the 920 podcast, new episode available wherever you get podcasts. Presented by our friends at Crumble Cookies, Clinton Highway, and the new one in Turkey Creek. Logan, thank you, my friend. Have a great weekend.
Thank you, guys.
Logan Quinton, one more time on the drive. We got to take a quick timeout. Stay with us. Top of the hour, top five at five. We'll get you caught up to date on all the scores going on in the NCAA tournament next, right here on Fan Run Radio.
The Drive.
Nothing goes with a great sports watching experience like